Pastor Ray Bentley points out that Mary knew Jesus would soon die, and that's why she chose to anoint him with costly perfume.
How did this one woman see what those who had been especially chosen by God could not see? And I believe it is because of this act of worship to what was actually before Jesus of Nazareth is a direct result of her sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. There's a time when devotion isn't practical. There's a time when an aspect of discipleship may not make complete earthly sense. But God isn't bound by the logic of mortal man. Today, Pastor Ray brings us a case in point as we see an extravagant outpouring of love that went beyond earthly reason.
Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. The title of the message is Heart Worship. And we're going to be taught by a beautiful, godly, spiritual woman named Mary. She is going to teach us tonight the thing that is the most important thing to the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is that we worship Him and that we worship Him with all of our heart. All right, let's look at verses 1 through 3. It says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this Jesus, obviously, with His disciples, we're in the last couple of chapters here of the Gospel of Mark, and He's making His way for the very last time, to the city of Jerusalem. To be there for Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes, listen to this, sought how they might take Him by trickery and put Him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as He sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on His head. Now, we'll stop there for just a moment. This happens in the home of a man named Simon. I call him the former leper. He was, you know, when you get a nickname, how many of you have found that sometimes when you get a nickname, it stays with you for a very long time? Well, this is Simon. His nickname was Simon. You know, and there were a lot of guys 2,000 years ago in Israel named Simon. So how do you distinguish one Simon from 100 other Simons? Well, Simon the leper. Oh, that one. The one that has leprosy. But in this case, this is Simon the leper, his nickname. But it's really, in brackets, Simon the former leper. And Jesus has obviously had an impact in this man's life and touched him and healed him and now has invited him into His home. Jesus is there at Simon the leper's house, and apparently the chief priests in Jerusalem. So across, you could look from the Mount of Olives across the valley and see there the Temple Mount on Mount Zion, a beautiful, beautiful, it was absolutely breathtaking and spectacular to behold. But right there in the temple, the chief priests and scribes, some of them, not all of them, are seeking to take Jesus by treachery, and they're plotting, how can we put this man to death? So that's the backdrop of this story. And at the very same time, there is a woman, a loving woman, who is seizing one of the last few moments of opportunity in order that she might honor Jesus. And she has come to know Him and to believe in Him and to love Him and to worship Him. And she wants to take this alabaster box, and she breaks it that is full of precious perfume. This one little alabaster box of perfume and its strong, beautiful, sweet fragrance would cost a year's wage. It was very, very costly. And so this is what she does in the home of Simon, the former leper. And when she does this, and how she does this, is a way that will literally transform the understanding of the disciples. It will have an impact in the Gospels. Three out of the four Gospels mention it and talk about it. And so the question, how does Mary know? How is it that Mary knew? What was really happening? Because as the conversation goes on, I want you to follow with me and let's read verses 4 through 11. It says, "But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply." And I love this. "But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Now, what happened in that home, in that little village on the Mount of Olives 2,000 years ago, is being talked about tonight. So what Jesus said is actually being fulfilled right now. Then in verse 10, it says, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them." Look at the backdrop of this story. The first couple of verses, they're plotting to kill him. Then we have Mary, this extravagant worship. And then the end of the story is Judas goes, okay, that's it. And he goes and betrays the Lord Jesus. And when they heard it, he said, "I'll betray him to you and we'll figure out a plan." And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So now what's interesting is that neither Mark nor Matthew tell us the name of the woman, but John tells us in the Gospel of John that it was the Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Now this Mary is found three times in the Gospels, as I mentioned here in your notes, and all three times, it's interesting, she is found at the feet of Jesus. I put the references there. You can look them up and find out each time. Isn't that a great thing? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we don't know a lot about Mary. Not a lot is told us. But all we do know is that every time you see Mary, this Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. She is the only one of the disciples. And this includes all the men. This includes all the 12. Obviously, Judas is taken off. He's going to betray the Lord. But the other 11, including Peter, including Matthew, including John, they did not fully comprehend or see or realize or appreciate what was about to happen to Jesus. None of them. None of the guys saw it. None of them were able to perceive it. None of them had insight to it. None of them was reaching out to minister to Jesus, let alone to comfort him, let alone to honor him or prepare him or to worship him. But this woman knew something. She, listen, saw into the future. Now, how much she understood, how much she perceived, we don't know, but we do know this. She got it. Jesus had said on many occasions, "When I get to Jerusalem this time, I'll be given into the hands of evil men, and I will be crucified, and on the third day, I will be resurrected." He had said that plainly again and again. How did this one woman see what those who had been especially chosen by God to be part of the Messiah's inner circle, they could not see? And I believe it is because this act of worship, this depth of understanding and insight to what was actually before Jesus of Nazareth is a direct result of her sitting at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 39 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I didn't put these verses in your notes, but I want to read on the next couple of verses. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Listen to that. Martha was distracted. What about the disciples? I wonder if they were distracted. They did not see or perceive what was happening. And it says, and she approached him and said, Lord, so this is Martha, her sister, at another time. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve? I'm serving you, and I'm serving alone. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, I love this. This is a great example of sometimes our prayers. She's telling Jesus, therefore, would you please tell her to help me? How many times have we prayed giving the creator of the universe instructions on what he needs to do in our lives? Lord, could you please go to so-and-so, and could you please open their eyes and tell them thus and such? Do you think that Jesus is sitting on the throne of heaven going, wow, I didn't think of that. Let me get a pen. I'd like to write that down. Okay, we're laughing because it's ridiculous. But sometimes you have to state the obvious. The Lord is not waiting for our counsel and, you know, and what he needs to do. We go before him. So then this is what Jesus' response was to Martha. Now, he didn't, you know, rip her up one side and down the other. But he did speak the truth in love. And here's what Jesus said. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Where was Mary? She was not up running around, distracted, worried, or troubled. Did you notice Martha was serving the Lord, worried, and troubled? That's not what the Lord wants from us. I wonder, you know, down the road, obviously, Jesus' ministry was only about 3 years. When he came like a whirlwind into the world and life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus resurrected from the dead. Martha has this experience. She brings the Lord, the Messiah is coming into her home. And there is Mary. And then after Jesus has been crucified, he's resurrected, he appears to the disciples for about 40 days, and then he ascends up into heaven. He's gone for the rest of their earthly lives. They know and believe in Jesus. But as they looked back and they thought back, and Mary's thinking about what she did, she has memories. I did the very best. I know that I chose the best thing. I sat at Jesus' feet and he talked to me. He listened to me. And I just was able to sit there as long as I wanted. Martha, yes, the Messiah came to my house. What was it like? Well, I was very busy in the cupboards. You know, the possibility is that after this particular occasion, Martha did have a change of heart. The trouble is there are only a few days left before Jesus will be crucified, buried, and resurrected. Mary is expressing her love of Jesus, and she anoints his head with the perfume and his feet from head to toe because Jesus, she realizes, is about to die. He is going to go to the cross. And therefore, she somehow, the Holy Spirit, opened her heart, and I believe it came because she sat at the feet of Jesus. She listened to him, pondered what he said, and to whatever extent that she could receive it, she believed him and therefore was able to see, and thus she prepared and is the only one who prepared Jesus' body for burial. She anointed his head, as we see here in verse 3, and she also anointed his feet with that perfume according to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 3. And what's also beautiful is she showed her love for Jesus while he was still with her and while he was still alive. I would love to meet this precious, precious sister in the Lord.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners. It's a blessing to hear how these broadcasts often reach people at just the right time.
I'm at a place in my life where I need to be grounded. I need help and I need comfort. I've been looking to other people and things to fill all my needs. I never realized all I needed to do was look up and ask God to help. When I heard Pastor Ray, it felt like he was speaking directly to me, and every word he said was dealing with my life. After hearing the message, I asked God into my heart. I asked him to take control of my life and lead me. Thank you, Pastor Ray.
How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, there are, as we read the account again, there are three results from this kind of worship. And I want to go through them quickly here. Number one, the first result of this kind of extravagant worship, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. If you can imagine buying perfume, and I want you to imagine you, whatever your lifestyle may be, purchasing a bottle of perfume that costs a year's wage for you, whatever that may be, a year's wage. Then imagine having an occasion where you wanted to take it, break it, and in one moment expend all of its precious fragrance. The whole, can you imagine the house, how it was filled with this perfume? And beautiful thing you might want to note here, there's always a beautiful fragrance in the house of those who love and worship Jesus. Paul the Apostle talked about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Let's read this out loud. For to God we are the aroma of the Messiah, both among those being saved and among those being lost. To the latter, we are the smell of death, leading only to more death. But to the former, we are the sweet smell of life, leading to more life. Who is equal to such a task? We carry the very fragrance and presence of Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, if you love and are worshiping the Lord Jesus, he fills your life, your house, your home. Wherever you go, you have the aroma of Jesus with you. And I have met some precious brothers and precious sisters who have that aroma of Christ. And I'm telling you that I have determined that when I meet a man or a woman, a brother or sister who has the aroma of Christ, I choose to be with them and around them, and if I can, to make them my friends. The second result of those who lavish this kind of love and adoration and worship and have that fragrance of Christ filling their home, the second thing is there will be those who criticize such extravagant worship. And there were some who were criticizing her. Now listen, Judas criticizes her, but he led the other disciples in criticizing her. So the point is, there were some actual true disciples who were criticizing her, and then there was a false disciple, Judas. The point is, across the board, they're all criticizing her. Now, if your goal in life is to be liked by everybody, then this is going to present a problem. So there comes a time in our lives where we have to say, what is more important to me? What other people think of me, though they may be good and righteous and true believers, let alone the false ones, but what's most important to me is what does my Lord and Savior think of me? And sometimes all of us can get caught up in being really worried about what do other people think. And our strategy is, if everybody else that I know that they love the Lord, and if they're okay with me, then I'll be okay and I can smile and I can go to Jesus. But that's kind of going backwards. Start with the Lord. Because those who were true disciples, some of those who were there that day, some of the very ones who criticized her, are the very ones later who would tell her story and say, I blew it. I was wrong, and Mary was right. And because of that, I listened to Jesus, I learned from Mary, and I'll never be the same. So it is, of course, and here's the difficult thing. It is, of course, very spiritual to talk about helping other people, and especially the poor. But in reality, this had nothing to do with that. And of course, we have the leader who spoke up first, and then everybody jumped onto it, was Judas. Judas is the one who held, for some reason, what little meager treasury that they had. And he says, that could have been sold for a great price and given to help many people for the poor. But what nobody knew was that in Judas' heart, he'd already kind of pilfered from the money anyway. And he was thinking of it selfishly. There's some people that believe that as things finally made their way to this now last time to Jerusalem, when it became clear that things were not going to happen according to Judas' plans, Judas gave up and became self-deceived. And then, when he deceived himself, because it didn't go the way he wanted it to go, Satan was right there to say, that's right. It's not going the way we think it should go, is it, Judas? And Satan entered in, and the partnership was formed to the point of betraying his former master. So, a critical spirit, be careful. In judging, criticizing, condemning, and accidentally allowing an open door of a seed for the enemy to come in and plant, where you either pull out your own seed of faith and walk away. It's interesting that this very story, it's almost like Mark is putting the contrast with Judas, who throws in the towel, as it were, and now here is Mary, who has fallen more in love with Jesus, and says, I know that you're going to die, and I know that in some way you're going to die for me in a few days, and it's Passover, and I believe what you've said. I don't fully understand it, but I know that you are from God, and I love you so much, I'll take the most precious thing I have and smash it into 1,000 pieces, and I want the whole room to know and the whole world to know you are the Messiah. You have to have come from my Father. You are the answer to the prayers of the hearts of all true sons and daughters of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then thirdly, the third result that we learn from Mary is this. Jesus received Mary's gift. He not only received her gift, he commended her for it. Go back with me again in verse 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. You want to sit at the feet of Jesus? Jesus is going to say to everybody else and everything else, leave him alone. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Jesus defended her, and her story is now told tonight, 2,000 years later. It is never as much important what others say as what it is our Lord says about our love and loyalty to him. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good insight on Mary's gesture of respect and sacrifice toward the Lord. Good counsel today here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled Heart Worship. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you get there, under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his latest book called The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.